And joining us today is someone taking a platform on medical marijuana for the first time. She's appeared in the press of Atlantic City this week talking about this new platform. And here today at our event, our Normal Freedom Forum, Georgie is going to be really making medical marijuana her issue moving forward here. The Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act in New Jersey passed the state Senate on February 23rd. It's halfway through the legislative process, but it still has to make this critical next step, which is to actually get through the Assembly Health Committee and then through the full Assembly. So we're really happy to have Miss New Jersey 2006, Georgie DeMaria. Welcome on out, Georgie.
Thanks, Chris. Welcome, everyone. Happy holidays. It's wonderful to see so much support. Thank you so very much for coming out to lovely Philadelphia to join us at Kirby Hall at the National Constitution Center for our 420 Freedom Forum. I'm going to kick off the event by joining us is Neil Franklin. He joins us from the Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Please welcome Neil.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am a member of LEAP, which is Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And before I just give you a little bit about me, I'm going to tell you a little bit about LEAP. LEAP is an organization of law enforcement officials. When I say law enforcement, they could be current or retired. And they could be either police, local, state, federal, prosecutors, former judges, anyone that has played a role, corrections, in our law enforcement, community throughout the United States. But not just the United States, we've also gone international. So we're a little over 15,000 members now, currently. We're in over 80 countries. So we do a lot in Australia, we do a lot in the UK, Canada, and other countries. About me, I have over 32 years of law enforcement experience. I am currently in law enforcement. 1999, I retired from the Maryland State Police. When I retired, I was the commander of their training division. But I spent most of my time in the Maryland State Police either in narcotics enforcement or criminal enforcement. From being a narc on the street all the way up to running half the state as it relates to criminal and drug enforcement. I then went to Baltimore. I was recruited by the Baltimore Commissioner to command, not just command, but to restructure their training department. And I went there in 2000 and stayed there for about roughly 4 years. And got to see Baltimore from a different perspective. You see, I was born and raised in Baltimore. You guys familiar with The Wire? The HBO series The Wire? Let me tell you about The Wire, buddy. True to form, what you see in that show is on point. It is on point, except for the community of Amsterdam. That was the only thing that was a little off. I'm currently with a Maryland State Police agency, and hopefully I'll be employed tomorrow as well when I return. You see that, and I kind of joke about that, but see that is an issue for a lot of law enforcement officers. Now when you see in the news law enforcement officials, and I say officials, and when I say officials standing here before you today, I'm talking about the high-ranking folks. I'm not talking about the guys and the ladies on the street where the work is being done. And they're talking about how we can't legalize this, how we can't legalize that, and so on and so forth. It's either one or two reasons. Either they're out of touch, which many are, or they're protecting their jobs. I guess there may be a third is, well, it's also being out of touch if they don't get it, and many apparently don't get it. Since the 70s, we've had more than a 500% incarceration rate as relates to our folks in prison. That equates to more than 2.2 million folks. It's a lot of people. Prisons are big business in this country, and it's unfortunate. Most of what I talk to you here about today, you see, we have people who will be here from the medical profession. I know nothing about the medical profession other than when I go to the doctor and pay my copay. My expertise is on the front lines dealing with the war on drugs. It is those officers who are out there every day dealing with this issue. And marijuana is what we make majority of our arrests for. Marijuana takes up more of our time than any other drug that's out there. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that time as we move forward. I'm not one who's really big on statistics because as I get a little bit further into my presentation, you're going to hear me talk about some things that are personal to me. And I like to talk about things from different perspectives, but here are just a couple of numbers. You know, disparity is an issue. When I say disparity, when talking about incarceration, we're talking about minorities in this country being affected by the war on drugs. And I mentioned 2.2 million in prison. 900,000 plus are African Americans. You know, I'm really upset that African Americans and members of other minority populations in this country are not speaking out more on this issue. I'm appalled at that. Because it is our policies, our failed policies as it relates to the war on drugs, directly related to that we have this issue of disparity. One in six black men were jailed as of 2001. And that's the rate, one in six. If this rate continues, young black males who are born today will have a 1 in 3 chance of going to jail. That's extremely high. Here's some statistics as relates to states. Still dealing with disparity. In Iowa, 13.6 to 1. 13.6 to 1, blacks will go to jail compared to whites. On the bottom end, that's the high end, on the bottom end, it's 1.9 to 1, and that's in Hawaii. We're in Pennsylvania. Try 9.2. In this state, 9.2 to 1. Now, blacks make up 14% of the population in this country. 51% of the drug convictions are African Americans. Chew on that for a bit. Marijuana. Drug abuse violations. Marijuana is still number one for the arrest in this country. And I'm still trying to figure that out because prescription drugs, alcohol, I mean, you just name it, all that stuff that is somewhat legal, it's all worse than marijuana. All worse than marijuana. Whew. 2007, close to 2 million marijuana arrests. It's unbelievable. In 1987, 7.4% of all arrests were marijuana related. In 2007, it's 13%. So it's on the rise. We're really winning this war on drugs, I tell you. And let me talk a little bit about law enforcement. This is a huge drain on your law enforcement community. It's a huge drain. Financially, of course it is. 3 to 5 times in growth since 1980 in just about every law enforcement agency in this country, 3 to 5 times of growth as it relates to the money that we spend in drug enforcement. Street officers, when you ask them about this situation, they will tell you, well, depends on, is this on or off the record? That's the first thing they'll ask you. If it's on a record, hey, we come out here and we do what we have to do, what we're told to do. You know, people are violating the law, so we enforce it. But off the record, they'll tell you a number of things. Number one, they're wasting their time. They're not just wasting their time, they're putting their lives on the line. But see, when we talk about deaths as it relates to this game, this war on drugs, the drug wars, most people initially think about the people who are involved in the game. You know, the drug dealers, the addicts who are out there trying to get their fix every day. But what about the civilians? What about the as they put it, the good people who are out there? What about the innocent people who are out there? Well, first of all, the people in the game, you know, a life is a life. A life is a life. Period. But let's talk about the, could you change the slide? Let's talk about the innocent people. In Baltimore, it was actually October 3rd of 2002. This is 6 members of the Dawson family. The father is not pictured here, and that's the house that they lived in. Because of our failed policies and failing to address the war on drugs appropriately, failing to address our drug abuse problem in this country appropriately, the mother, top left, Angela, was trying to do something to rid her community of the violence and the drug dealing going on in her community. They were burned out of their home by the drug dealer, but not just burnt out, they died. Every member of that family died. Unnecessarily. Because of our policies in this country. Goes beyond that. I mentioned briefly about the risk that police put themselves in. They are succumbed to great harm every single day as they go try to clear corners of drug dealers. Drug dealers who do not have to be on those corners if we were to just change our policies in this country and combat this issue in a proper way. It is a drug abuse issue. It is a medical issue. It is not a criminal issue. Because we have failed to change our policies, we have created 2 issues in this country. We've always had a drug abuse problem in this country. If you look at history, it's been here, and it's going to be here. But what we have done when we created this so-called war on drugs, we now created another huge issue. But this criminal issue we created is distracting from the root issue, which is drug abuse. It's taking the money, it's taking the time, it's taking the effort, it's taking lives. Show the next slide. That's Trooper Ed Totley. He was a good friend of mine. He was assassinated. He was in law enforcement for roughly 16 years. He was a member of the state police. He was probably the best narcotics agent that the state police ever had. And we probably left him in narcotics a little bit too long because he had gotten extremely comfortable, not to say that in a negative way. Ed had worked a number of times for me when I was one of the commanders in the Maryland State Police for drug enforcement. And when I retired, we had a conversation shortly after where he was working a case. He was working a mid-level drug dealer in the Washington, D.C. area in Tacoma Park. And he was going to make his final purchase from this guy. And he was like, yeah, I'm okay. I got this, you know, and we're going to do what we're told. You know, we're soldiers. We're going to do what we're supposed to do, enforce the law, go out there. And that's what he had done majority of his career. He was very good at it. Now, he was on the FBI task force when this occurred. And late one night on October 30th, 2000, I got a call in the middle of the night. And they told me Ed had been shot. Point blank range by the dealer he was trying to make that final purchase from. He left behind a wife and three kids. That was the real turn for me. That was it. That's when I joined LEAP. That's when I found LEAP. That's when I reached out and joined LEAP. Because we have people, not just law enforcement. We have families. Yes, we have the people in the game, but we have many people dying as a result of this issue. We're going about it the wrong way, folks. So what do we need to do? Right now, the drugs that are out there on the street, to include marijuana, are completely unregulated. Completely unregulated. There are no standards to go by. Any young person will tell you that if they have to get alcohol or they have to get marijuana or they have to get cocaine or heroin, it's much easier to get an illegal drug than it is a legal drug, because legal drugs are regulated, still accessible, but much more difficult to obtain for a young person. We've got to change that. We've got to force a change in our policies. Now, this is interesting. This past Thursday, I was on CNN doing a debate with Asa Hutchinson in American Morning. And he says that the American people are totally against any kind of change in this direction. He says referendum after referendum have failed, and it's just not what the American people want to do. It's too dangerous to legalize these drugs. I just talked to you about some of the dangers of illegal drugs. But the interesting part, that very morning, CNN was doing a poll of its viewers. And I mentioned to Asa, I said, you know, 93% of the people who responded to this poll said that marijuana should be legalized. Not just for medical use, but legalized, period. 93% of those people who responded. Go ahead, clap. I think that's a pretty strong statement, but it even went on. 48% of those people said all drugs should be legalized. And you regulate it. You regulate it. You apply standards, because right now there's no regulations. Drug dealer can sell to whoever they want to, in any neighborhood they want to, at any time they want to. We've got to apply standards. In closing, and you can move to the last slide, please. We have not learned from history. In the 1920s, we had alcohol prohibition. And though it was a noble cause at first with the 18th Amendment, it failed. It failed to work because it gave birth to the likes of Al Capone. We find ourselves today in a similar situation. I, for one, believe that alcohol is much worse than marijuana. Okay? We're almost four decades now. It took 13 years in the 1920s. I thought we were getting smarter as we went along in the years. Apparently not. Close to 40 years, and we're still doing this. It's getting worse. More drugs are coming into the country. They've increased by metric tons. The costs have gone down. That means the availability is quite high. You can't keep drugs out of prisons. How are you going to keep them out of your backyard? Regulation is the key. Of that 93%, that's kind of reflective of the folks that we have in this auditorium today. So I ask, are you pushing hard enough? Because if there are 100 people in this room, 93 of you think marijuana should be legal. And if there are any viewers anywhere else, if this thing is being recorded, those that see this, 93%, 93 out of 100 think that marijuana should be legalized. So what are you doing? Are you ready to end it? Are you writing letters? Are you paying visits to your state representatives, your federal representatives? Are you a member of any organization who is moving in that direction? If not, you need to change. You need to do what you need to do. Write the letters, make the phone calls, become a member, if not a member of LEAP, a member of NORMAL, and there are many other organizations out there that are doing the right thing. Yes, we need the money as a country, but it's more important than that. It's about saving lives. On the side of the car, I don't know if you can see it, but it says, "Save our children." They knew it back then. And I believe it was Will Rogers that said, if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Thank you.
Law Enforcement Against Prohibition is an incredible group of individuals out there, full of folks like Neil Franklin, who speak out against prohibition all around the country. Neil was kind enough to come up from Maryland for us today, and other LEAP speakers you're going to see out there pretty frequently, including the former police chief of Seattle, Norm Stamper. The current police chief of Seattle is in the confirmation process of becoming our new drug czar, is how they call it, the director of the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy. A very interesting thing about Chief Kerlikowske is that in Seattle they passed I-75 a few years ago, and that essentially decriminalized and made marijuana a low priority in the city of Seattle. In Seattle, each year they have something called Hemp Fest. It is the largest marijuana reform rally in the country. You will find about 200,000 people gathered in Myrtle Edwards Park, I'm sorry. And yes, it's a great event, but do you know how many marijuana arrests there were at a gathering of 200,000 enthusiastic marijuana consumers? Zero. That's how many arrests there were in Seattle. So if you're wondering about what can happen with a change in the law, I think looking at Seattle is a really good look. And we're interested to see if Mr. Kerlikowske goes through his confirmation hearings very soon. So again, thank you, Neil Franklin and Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Coming up next for us.